This is a Haunted Attraction Network production. Achieve more with all our products at www.hauntedattractionnetwork.com.
My name is Ben DeWitt, and I'm the entertainment project manager for Hallow Scream. Hallow Scream, of course, is just one of our flagship events that our company has as a whole. From the moment you arrive and you step out of your car in the parking lot, there's going to be some hungry, scary creatures to greet you. When you walk into the park, you're going to see a huge presence of our theme, Evil Encore. We really wanted to go for opening night at the theater feel. You're going to see the big four beam spotlights that you can see from the interstate and almost another county away. There's a huge truss between our turn booths with big proscenium, and you'll see one of the more iconic of the carver's dolls reaching over the top. It looks like the entrance to an old theater. There's drapes and a ticket booth. And as you go inside to the right, you're going to feel very red carpet. There's a step and repeat on the side for you to take pictures. And then very, very nearby, you know, you'll see one of our haunted houses. Deathwater Bayou is one of our returning houses that the guests absolutely love. You wander deep into the bayou and are cursed by one of the voodoo queens there, and your job is to try to make it out alive. Of course, guests love that house. We try to not mess with it too much. You know, they have an expectation for it. We definitely want to meet that, and we want to give them things that they don't know they want yet while still respecting the experience they know they're going to get at Hallow Scream. There's, in addition to Deathwater Bayou, the six other houses. We have two new ones, Motel Hell and the Black Spot. Really proud of that one. We've kicked around the Black Spot idea for a while. It's themed around pirates. And if you're familiar with the Black Spot lore, essentially it boils down to being marked for death. Zombie Containment Unit is one of the other houses returning with our laser tag technology. Guests still love that. It's a new level of interaction that's really, really hard to duplicate because it's real world. You're in that building with that Zed, the zombie eradication device, and you have real zombies coming after you. Zombie Mortuary is back, the classic zombie house. We have Wasteland, we have the playground, and we have the Howlers scare zones in the corners of the park. And when we designed those, we wanted them to be houses without roofs, but we wanted to stack them full of people. We wanted to stack them with all the special effects infrastructure and lights and sound and fog and really make it feel like you're overwhelmed with it. Give the guests truly something to remember. And then in addition to those, we have a number of little scenic vignettes around the park. We have a school bus that we roll into the park. You know, we had to really try something new. You know, for a number of years, we had hordes of cheerleader zombies and then employee zombies. And, you know, zombies are great. They're classic Halloween, but we had to get creative and give guests something that they didn't know they wanted. And that's always the tricky part, is giving them what they don't know they want.
So can you talk a little bit more about specifically, you know, how you're creating that and what you're doing with that, and anything else that you have implemented to make groups have individualized experiences?
As we know, it's getting harder and harder to satisfy the haunt experience, what guests want. So we had to give them something special to walk away with. The way we're doing it this year is the Black Spot, and we identify groups of guests that are coming in together. We train our actors to look for the scaredy cat in the group. We look for the one that is reacting to just bushes moving on their own in the queue line, the one that's already scared, and we want to give them something a little extra. So as they come through the line, our actors are trained to find that one, give them that stamp on their hand, and then as they move through the house, the actors in the house are looking for that group and they're watching the hands. So it's very focused like that this year. All of our actors work on getting to know people, especially the atmosphere actors. They listen for their friend to say, "Where's John?" "Oh, he's in the bathroom." So when John comes out, they're gonna say, "Hey, John, there you are. We've been waiting for you." So just trying to find individual ways from person to person or group to group to make it special.
Can you give me two examples, great, like outstanding examples of times that your cast has taken ownership of the experience for the guest?
This actually happened last year. The Feeding Frenzy was a roaming horde that was over near the Montu section of the park, which is a dead end. And there was a group that came through, and the one girl was just absolutely terrified. In a fun way, she was having a great time. She was soaking in the event, and she just loved being afraid. I think her name was Jessica, if I can remember. I think her name was Jessica. She was walking away, and they knew that Jessica was going to go probably get on Montu, and then Jessica was going to have to come back because that was the only way through. It was such a great opportunity for that scare group because they were going to see everybody twice. One thing that they had is a bag of props. They wrapped him up in a big sheet, and they carried him out and dumped out the sheet, and it was body parts. It was hearts and feet and hands and arms and everything, and dumped him out on the road. So when they did end up seeing Jessica come back, one of the Frenzy members came, went up and got her and said, "Jessica, we have something for you," and pulled her in, and they dumped all of the body parts at Jessica's feet and then dove on top and started to feed on them, hence Feeding Frenzy. And they invited Jessica to jump in, and she absolutely loved it. She jumped right in. The family was able to get a whole bunch of pictures. Yeah, another good one. Actually, this past weekend, we hosted a proposal in Zombie Mortuary. And he's totally fine with me telling the story. We actually put it on our Instagram account. He and his friend own a funeral parlor. Like, it was like middle of September, they called and said, "Hey, my buddy and I are going to bring our girlfriends and we are going to propose." We told the cast, they ate it up. They were so excited to know they were going to be a part of this person's proposal. So we invited them in. They had all kinds of great ideas. The stage manager communicated very effectively. A lot of the actors that are normally typically at the end of the house came in, flooded the room, learned their names ahead of time. Yeah, and it created such a great experience. And it's an example of us allowing and really encouraging actors to jump in and make a guest experience. Actors compete with Falcon's Fury world-class roller coasters, so they have to outshine those roller coasters somehow.
We're going to take just a short commercial break here and hear from our sponsors, Gantam Live's Z-Tag and their live zombie infection game.
It was intense.
When the apocalypse comes.
When I was running, I completely dodged an entire crowd of nine.
Will you survive?
You gotta act quickly.
Z-Tag brings the undead to life.
If you take your time, it's gonna be too late.
In a real world challenge.
Next thing you know, you turn around, there's zombies.
Of speed, agility, and survival.
This is an awesome birthday.
It's zombies against humans.
Buildings, it was mazes. They're jumping out of everywhere.
Wear your Z-Tag badge with its flashing LEDs and get into action.
It really felt like zombies were coming at you at the end when you see the red tags everywhere.
Hunt or be hunted, take your pick.
It was a game you had to find.
Red light for zombies and green light for humans.
When you're like walking in and all of a sudden zombies come by.
Your survival instincts will be put to the ultimate test.
I would play Z-Tag again.
Do you have what it takes? Hashtag play Z-Tag.
Welcome back. We're here with Ben DeWitt at Busch Gardens Hell of Scream. Before the break, we heard a lot about what's up with this year's event and specifically what Ben and his operations team do to create individualized experiences. And he mentioned before the break something very interesting to me, which was emphasizing that they both allow and that they encourage their actors to be somebody's story. That seems, though, to me to also be a little risky. How do you deal with that risk? And has there ever been a time where you've had to navigate a difficult situation?
Yeah, sure. I mean, we hire 700 actors for this event. We ask them to put blood on their face and ripped up costumes and go out and scare people. We ask them to do that. So we understand that there is going to be a risk of somebody who's very, very passionate, who might run a little fast. From the word go, from the moment they audition, we talk about what our standards are, that this is Hell of Scream, but it's also SeaWorld Parks and Entertainment, and we do have an image and it's something that we want to maintain. If you come to the park tonight and ask people what the 3x3x3 rule is, they're going to tell you what it is, and that is you can take 3 steps. If you're on the street, you can take 3 steps to chase somebody. You can scare them for 3 seconds, and you need to stay 3 feet away.
I really like that rule. Where did it come from? How did that originate?
It precedes me. So how it originated, I don't know, but I can tell you that that rule is golden. It's worth the 16 years they've been saying it. We also make very critical decisions, very safe decisions with our product before we even roll it out. So if there is something delicate in the news, if there's some pop culture stuff or news media stuff going on, we'll pull that from the event before it even gives somebody a chance to misinterpret something as best as possible. And if we get some negative feedback or we decide that the clown thing is too much, we may put it on hold for a weekend.
What other elements, when you were doing your research, came back as having a low feedback score, and what have you done to address them?
You know, we understand we can't please everybody. We get a very small group of people who prefer some of our competition because of the intellectual property that's there, and we can't ever deny that. But what we just try to remind everybody is that this is original stuff. We come up with this, myself and a team of people who are passionate about haunting and Halloween. And with a healthy rotation, we very rarely bring back the same creative consultants outside, those extra voices. We don't bring them back for more than a year or two. Let them take a year or two off and do a healthy rotation. I think our guests and our fans can see a voice. They can see a voice in the houses and they can see a theme. So we try to rotate that in and out and give people new original content every year. And we let them know that you're not gonna see this in a movie theater. You're not gonna see it. You won't have read about it in a comic book. This is legit stuff. Other than that, it's just tweaking, you know? They want new drinks. Well, you know, we have a very talented culinary team that'll work on new drinks. If they want food they can walk around with, that's one big thing is guests come. It's not a very long event. It's open for 6 hours, roughly. They don't have time to sit down and eat. So we made a concerted effort this year to put food on a stick or in a cup. And we put up more tents, and you're gonna walk by. There's the lines. You know, we're praised for that, our short lines at our houses, at our food stands.
Very briefly, can you walk us through what your production schedule looks like?
We have a production calendar. We work backwards. Day zero is opening night. Rehearsals for us, at this point, we're discussing theme. We're reacting to houses. We're planning which houses are gonna go away next year. Our creative content for what those houses are gonna be, ideally are done in January. We send them out to bid and strategize how we're going to build them over February, March, early April, and pull the trigger on actually building new houses, building new props over the summertime. We start auditions for our actors in July. We start onboarding them, getting them on, like I said, 700 people. September for them is rehearsal. Late August through September, we do rehearsals, and then we open the event.
Has there ever been themes that you have wanted to do but not been able to? Because not only do you have to pay attention to the sensibilities in the audience, pop culture-wise, but you also have to be sensitive to the sensibilities of the brand that you represent,
sure,
while also trying to do something that none of your competitors are doing that is also original.
Yep.
It's a lot of challenges kind of overlapping here. How do you navigate that?
Boy, you're right. Carefully, for sure. You can visualize a Venn diagram with like five circles, and to find that small area where our corporate message as SeaWorld Parks Entertainment, our corporate brand message as Hallow Scream, and what's original, what our competitors aren't doing, just that little, where that little area is, changes every single year. So first, we throw everything against the wall. We research trends, what is scary. We look at clowns are big this year. We look at zombies have been huge. So we throw everything at the wall and talk it out. And at that point, we get some creative consultants, people that sometimes, frankly, I might disagree with early on and think that's not a great direction for us. It's too close to something we've done before. For example, we're discussing the next year's current theme, and we're concerned about how close it is to a theme of a similar event. So we're tweaking way out. I mean, we're talking 2017 and we haven't even finished 2016 yet. So that's one of the keys is getting started early. And the other things are, I have to realize, and the people that are very close to this event, 365 days a year, sometimes we are wrong. And a difficult pill for me to swallow when I first got this role a couple of years ago was understanding that I'm not always right. So when we do hire one of those outside voices, they'll say, Ben, you have to understand you're too close to the event. Trust me. So it's trusting those other resources as well, and they always help you come up with something that you might not see because of the tunnel vision that you've created, or that I might not see because of the tunnel vision I created, spending so many hours walking through Motel Hell or the Black Spot or any of the haunted houses.
Was there a time where you've had to shift a theme after production's already gone through and you're kind of like at the end, and how did that make you feel?
A couple of times. And well, yeah. Anytime you work really hard, you get attached to something, it stinks to have to change it. But my job is to make guests happy and have a good time with Howl-O-Scream. It's not to create Howl-O-Scream that's going to make, that I like, right? I understand that if I create a product and I have to make an adjustment, whether it's because the guests aren't receiving it as well as we thought, or because of something sensitive, I know I'm making that adjustment and I'm fine with it. It's for the guests.
So walk me through one of the adjustments that you've overseen.
2014 is probably the last most significant one where that we were very sensitive to. There were journalists overseas and there was a lot of issues with the beheadings. And we had a number of props in the park that were just heads. It wasn't a depiction of beheading. It wasn't anything like that. But we pulled them. We got rid of them. We didn't want to trigger anybody with that. It's horrifying. And that's not what we're here for. There was a, we do a magic trick in the Fiends show where we pull somebody apart and reassemble. That year we did. And there was a part where we pulled apart their legs, feet, arms, and including their head. We ended up cutting that as well. Because again, it wasn't our intention to do that stuff. And you know, we came up with great alternatives. I'm not at all dissatisfied with what we ended up turning out. And in some cases, I do actually think we improved what we did in Fiends. You know, does it hurt my feelings to have to change the product? No. I want to do what's right for our guests first and foremost, and we always come up with a good alternative.
So there's ever been anything that you wanted to do but couldn't do because it hit into one of those fears or it didn't fit with a pop culture thing?
I'm truly having a hard time coming up with something that I wanted to do because of our event. I know that there are things that are consultants wanted to do that aren't close to this event came in and they said, Ben, let's do this. And I said, absolutely not. We can't have somebody get hit by a car in the park. That was one of the things they wanted to do. They wanted to have car accident happen in the park. And I'm like, yes, that is horrifying for the wrong reasons. We're not going to do that.
Paint the picture of the perfect Howl-O-Scream experience that you have seen a guest have.
I've been on the trams when guests step out of their car and they thought we were joking when we said that they're there the minute you step out of your car. So ideal guest experience is that they've stepped out of the car and they were scared immediately.
Well, is there anything you would like to add before we sign off?
Howl-O-Scream.com, that's where it's all at. That's where the information on the park, best ticket prices, all that stuff is there, Howl-O-Scream.com.
Excellent, thank you so much, Ben, for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thanks for coming out.
I'm Philip Hernandez, and this show is produced by the Haunted Attraction Network. Today's episode was edited and mixed by Mike Migas. Chris Thomas wrote and performed our theme song and our special introduction music. Additional music and vocals from Music Radio Creative. Today's sponsor was Gantam Live and ZTAG. Learn more at www.ztag.com or by finding them on social at PlayZTAG. If you enjoyed today's episode, please, please consider subscribing and leaving us a review in iTunes or your favorite podcaster app. Those reviews help us tremendously. If you leave a review, hit us up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook, and we can thank you personally. Thanks for listening, and until next time, stay scary.